Welcome everybody. My name's Sue Smith. I work at the Self-Advocacy Resource Unit. And this year, it was our absolute pleasure, and we were thrilled that she accepted, to invite Judy to be the SARI's keynote speaker at the conference. And it really was about making change happen on the world stage. And Judy has a remarkable list of achievements. And it's funny, I was coming in with Judy's friend Naomi from the airport when I picked them up on Sunday. And Naomi said at the back of the car, she said, "When I grow up, I want to be Judy Hewitt." And she started telling me that Judy had been to Geneva, London, was going back to Tassie, going back up to Sydney, Canberra. And I'm like, I think I agree with you, Naomi. When I grow up, I want to be Judy Hewitt and travel the world. So I just, Judy, and I read a little bit from her biography, but it didn't do nearly enough justice, is a 40-year-old woman with an intellectual disability who lives in Tasmania with her husband, Peter. In 2010, she was awarded the Tasmanian Disability Community Achievement Award, and in 2012, the International Award for Human Rights for her long-standing commitment to promoting the human rights of people with intellectual disability and their contribution at local, national and international levels in developing self-advocacy. So you can see why we were thrilled that Judy accepted our invitation to be our keynote speaker. In 2013, Judy travelled to Geneva as part of an expert group to talk and present at the United Nations Committee on the Rights of Persons with Disabilities, and Geneva's in Switzerland. So now you see why we all want to be Judy. She currently works at the self-advocacy liaison for Speak Out Association of Tasmania, but that's where the bio in the program stops. She's also on the National Council for Intellectual Disability Board. She's on the Our Voice Committee. She's on the Tasmanian Premier's Disability Advisory Council. She was a nominee for Australian of the Year. So it is my great pleasure to introduce Judy as our keynote speaker to talk about being a champion of change on the world stage. Thanks, Judy.
Thank you, everyone, for having me here. So, good morning, everyone. I'd like to share with you my journey to the 10th session of the Rights of Persons with Disabilities. There is an International Convention on the Rights of Persons with Disabilities. It means that all countries should make sure that people with disabilities are treated equal as everyone else. Australians signed the convention in 2008. It means that the Australian government said it would make sure people with disabilities are treated equal with everyone else. A United Nations committee reviewed each country. And these are the countries that they reviewed. Last year, it was Australia's turn to tell the committee what they were doing for the rights of people with disabilities in Australia. Sorry, I'm just going to have to turn to my mic. A report was written by people with disabilities and their support and advocacy organisations. This report says, since 2008, things have gotten better for people with disabilities, but could get a lot better. The Australian government and people with disabilities met at the United Nations in September 2013. I wanted people with intellectual disabilities to be represented at the United Nations. I applied and to be part of this group and was accepted. Speak Out helped me prepare for the meeting and the trip to the United Nations in Geneva. And the person alongside me was my support who came from Switzerland. So he came from Geneva. I met with a group in Sydney and we prepared for our trip. These are some of the members of the delegation. I'll leave you lingering for a while and see who you can see there. We have Rosemary Keys from the Australian Centre for Disability Law. We had Therese Sands from People with Disabilities Australia. We had Damien Griffiths from People First Network. We had Caroline Fermata from Women with Disabilities Australia. We had David Heckendorf from People with Disabilities ACT. And Judy Hewitt, I don't know who she is, but she came from Speak Out. I was the only person with an intellectual disability on that delegation. We had Paul Kane from National Council on Intellectual Disability, Stephen Giovanni who used to be from AFTO. We had Raja Ralph from Physical Disability Australia and Dominique, who was my support person. Geneva is in Switzerland. It's a European headquarters of the United Nations. It took 28 hours flying time to get there from Launceston, which was a long way. We arrived in Geneva. The group prepared statements on what they wanted to be done for people with disabilities in Australia. We were invited by the Australian ambassador at the time, at the Australian Mission to celebrate the 20th century of the Human Rights Commission. We talked to Graham Innes, the former Disability Discrimination Commissioner. An exhibition was launched at Palais du National in Geneva by Direct General of the Governor of the United Nations in Geneva and Peter Wilcock, the Ambassador, and Belinda Hansen was the photographer that took our photo here. The exhibition is about Aboriginal people living with disabilities, presented by People First Network. I learnt a lot about Aboriginal people living with disabilities. Did you know one out of two Aboriginal people has a disability or health condition? They have less access to work than anybody else in Australia. They have less education than anybody else in Australia. And many go to jail because there's nowhere for them to live. I thought it was a good idea of getting a practice in with one of my speeches. Dominique and I reported each night, wrote a report each night of what the group did during the day. In easy read, of course, which we had copies, but we didn't bring them along this time. The next day, we talked to the Australian government about issues we wanted to talk to the committee about. And the evenings, it was not all work. We went to some really nice restaurants for tea in Geneva. And here I am with Paul Kane from National Council on Intellectual Disability. Some of you might know Paul. The first day at the United Nations. This is the room where it all happened. People spoke different languages, so we could hear the translation in our headsets. The tenth session started. The Australian ambassador talked about what the government is doing right for people with disabilities in Australia. Rosemary and Therese Sands, they presented our group to the Committee on the Rights of Persons with Disabilities. Then it was our turn to speak. Damien spoke about the rights of Aboriginal people with disabilities in Australia. Brett Casey. Brett uses sign language. He talked about people with disabilities being in jail unfairly. Caroline. She talked about the rights of women with disabilities. And David, he said that the Australian government should consult more with people with disabilities. I talked about two issues that I'm passionate about. The first, the Australian government need to close institutions now. And sheltered workshops are not right. People with disabilities who work there don't get enough money for the job that they do. I was told I was the first person with an intellectual disability from Australia to even speak at the United Nations Committee for the Rights of Persons with Disabilities. We talked directly to the committee members, and this is Ida Miner from Kenya. The committee members are from all around the world, from Thailand, Denmark, Korea, Chile, and Kenya. I was just lucky enough to speak to a few of these. I thought they were very keen to listen to me and about the issues people with disabilities in Australia. The committee has then asked questions to the Australian government. The ambassador said he needed time to answer questions. The committee gave him 2 days to respond. The committee has now given their report, and I'll talk about that in a few minutes. Our last meeting. We had our last meeting before everyone went their own separate ways. We were very pleased with the tent session, how the tent session went. Then it was time to party. Visiting Geneva. After all our hard work, Dominic showed me Geneva and their mountains. This is La Jadot, 180 metres high. These are some of the pictures that we took in Geneva, and the lady sitting beside me on the boat is Dominic's mum. Behind me is the highest mountain in Europe, the Mont Blanc. It is 4,808 metres high. It is nearly four times higher than Mount Wellington in Tasmania. And here we are at 3,800 metres high, and it was difficult to breathe. We took a big cable car up to the mountains. The 4th of October 2013, the committee released their observation reports. Australia has to do better for Aboriginal people with disabilities. Australia has to do better for women with disabilities. Australia must close institutions that are still open. And people in children workshops are paid unfair wage. That must stop now. And I'm very happy that the committee listened to me and agreed that the institutions must close now, and that people with disabilities need to get a fair wage. And I'm very pleased to have to be able to put in practice nothing about us without us. And these are the following organisations that supported us to get to Geneva. Now, I'm not going to read them all out because there are a fair few there. So thank you, and have a good afternoon.
Thanks, Judy. Now we're going to do the next bit in a few parts. I thought we'd do some question and answers about Judy's experience in Geneva, and I have to compliment you on your French accent. They're all like perfectly pronounced. So I thought we'd have some questions and answers about the experience in Geneva, and then we'll come back and talk a bit about your experiences in Australia on national committees and boards and that.
Fine.
So does anyone have any questions about Judy's experiences in Geneva? We'll go to Greg and then over there.
Yeah, it was a South Advocacy Casey group, right? And I reckon that went really well, really, because nothing wrong with the meeting, like, panel there. And I reckon that worked very hard. Those who have a medal, I reckon. And by the way, South African groups, that was the last meeting for the day, where we're going to head back 4:30, so I would hope I did well. Thank you very much for having us.
Thanks, Greg. And Greg is a member of one of the newest self-advocacy groups to start in Victoria and Shepparton. So, first conference, Greg?
I hope I'll get a medal.
Thanks, Greg.
Hi Judy, my name's Penelope. So thanks for sharing your story, and lucky duck to have the pleasure of going. I would like to know how can we access the easy read information and further information that you showed on the screen. I realised time wise you can't go through it, or how can we obtain copies of what you produced whilst over there, please?
Sorry, I couldn't hear the question, Sue.
Sorry. Oh, that's a bit better.
Yep, that's better.
I'm Penelope.
Yep.
Thank you for sharing. We'd love to know how we can access the easy read and the further information that you showed us, and the reports that you submitted and so forth. How can we obtain copies of that? Is that possible by any chance?
I can certainly send it through to Sari. There is also information on the People with Disabilities Australia website, PWDA, in easy English. So if that's...
Great, that thank help? You. Yes. Thank you again for sharing your story.
Thank you.
Another one down here.
Thanks for your talk, Judy. That was great. I'm really fascinated. How hard was the application process to go, to be part of that team that went? And part B is, did you have some fondue when you're in Geneva? Because I love Geneva. I think it's great and the food's awesome.
The application was quite hard to fill out. So I had support in doing that from SpeakOut. Where I had to put my CV and other information together. And that didn't take one day. It took, I reckon, 2-3 days at max, because they needed all the information squished together in one. So it was a lot of work. And what was the other part of your question, sorry?
Did you get to try fondue?
No, I didn't, because next time, I only had one actual day, where I could look around Geneva. The rest was work.
Thanks. I'm Morris.
Oh, hi, Judith. It's Morris Gleeson. First of all, I'd like to also agree with what the other people have said. Your presentation was excellent. You were very clear and very descriptive. So I congratulate you. And you're obviously a great advocate for people with intellectual disability. Judith, just in the area of support of employment, in principle, I concur with you about that the people, the employees are underpaid. But when we talk about closing them down, my main concern is what would we do in replacement? You know, what would these people do? I have friends of mine who do work in support of employment, and that's their, it's a big part of their lives. So in principle, I agree with closing them, but how would we ensure that they were meaningfully employed in some way?
I actually wasn't talking about closing ADEs. I was actually talking about closing institutions, but the other concern that I had was getting more money for people in sheltered workshops, because I think people in sheltered workshops do a really great job, but I don't think they get the money that they deserve.
Yep. Thanks, Judy. Thanks, Morris. Trudy.
Hi, Judy. A very good presentation. My question is, the UN Convention.
Mm-hmm.
Could it cover other disability groups such as deaf blindness, which is quite different from deaf and blind?
Yep.
It
covered all aspects of disability. So it covered intellectual, it covered I'm sure it would have covered deaf and blindness.
Yep. Okay, thank you.
Trudy, someone from the deaf-blind self-advocacy group should apply for the next convention, I think, meeting.
Hi, Judy. Patsy here. Congratulations. That was a really wonderful presentation. My question for you is about being the first person with an intellectual disability speaking about intellectual disability, mm-hmm. both within a group of Australian people with disabilities and internationally.
Yeah.
Was there, for you, was there also things that the other people talked about that were important for women, for people with an intellectual disability as well? For example, did Carolyn talk about stuff to do with women with disabilities that was about women with intellectual disabilities? Were you able to kind of join the dots with other people?
Yes, yeah, I was. And I was with Carolyn, who spoke about women with disabilities. She spoke about women with intellectual disabilities as well. So I was able to we were able to network a lot, and we did a lot of that networking during our breaks, as well as during the, yeah.
Thanks, Judy. Another question over here. I'll come here and then you.
Oh, thanks. Hi, Judy. I'm someone who also has an intellectual disability, probably from having a seizure because I have epilepsy. But because you were the first person there who has an intellectual disability, I was wondering how the ambassador or the gentleman from Australia who was representing the government or the department, how he came across, like, had he been aware and taken intellectual disability seriously, that kind of thing, or had we kind of been looked over because we didn't have, I don't know, epilepsy tattooed across our forehead or intellectual disability tattooed across our forehead, so we just... Because we look like everyone else, we didn't get acknowledged, I suppose.
No, I'm sure that we certainly made an impact. And when I spoke about those two issues, it actually made an impact because when I came back, I actually spoke to different government organisations about what I'd done, and they fed back to their organisations. We certainly did make an impact, which I felt really pleased about and I felt really proud about because, they were actually listening. They weren't just sitting there going, oh, yes, and this person has an intellectual disability, and rolling their eyes. They were sitting there, oh, wow, this person's got a, she comes from a background of, she has an intellectual disability, so we'll listen.
Thanks, Judy.
Yeah, I have too. I work in a social workshop too. It's in Dorset Road. I worked before registered people, and some were in wheelchairs and things like that. Yeah, it's all right.
Yep. So you work in a sheltered workshop, and it's okay. Do you think you should be paid more?
Yes.
Over here, and then.
Judy, I'm just wondering, I'm concerned that I've read that enable that you were showing us on the screen,
mm-hmm.
and I quite like how the UN has put in parents with disability, but I'm concerned that in some states, Victoria would be one, and I'm sure a lot of us follow us, where removal of children with parents with an intellectual disability is extremely high. It's like the next best thing to whatever since sliced bread. Now, I know that Australia has both signed and ratified that they will follow the UN, and I'm concerned that they're not, because in the one for people with disabilities, it says the country will help and provide support to parents with a disability, and they will help and provide, so they'll help and provide support to parents with a disability, and the child will not be removed just because of disability, which is exactly what happened in my case. Mm-hmm. So I'm wondering, how can we best lobby? Is that only statewide, which I know it's not. I know it is all over Australia. So how can we make the government stand up to what they've signed and make the government do what they've said they'll do?
Well, I guess with the help of Women with Disabilities Australia, and also standing up and fighting, standing up and going to your local politicians, writing to them, writing to the Prime Minister, would be a start. But I certainly do know that, Women with Disabilities Australia, is doing a lot of work around that as well. So it'd be, I think it was Women with Disabilities Australia Victoria? Would that be? Yeah, sorry, Women with Disabilities Victoria. Would be doing a fair bit of lobbying as well. So, if you're in with that, or if you can make yourself known to them, I'm sure that there would be some assistance there.
And Judy, would you recommend when people do lobbying that they always quote the article from the UN to remind the government,
definitely.
You signed this and you committed to this?
Yes, yeah.
Now, there's someone else who had their hand up. Up, Danny.
Hi again, Penelope here. I forgot to ask, was anyone there that represented mental illness and or chronic conditions by any chance?
You've stumped me a bit there, Melody. I'm not really sure. Perhaps if after the session we could have a bit of a chat and I could tell you who was there. And yeah.
Okay, I've got Mom Morris again.
Judy, Judy, this might be a difficult question to answer. You went to a convention in September in 2013, is that correct?
Yes, that's correct. Right.
Do you think now that we're had a change of government, do you have any feeling what impact it may make for the direction we're going? Do you think it might be a very difficult question because it's quite complex at the moment.
It is a little bit of a difficult question, but I'm hoping that the government will listen to us, especially when we stand up for things that we believe in.
Is there any more questions? Oh, here's one.
Hi, Judy. I'm Elise. I just wanted to know if you as a group received any acknowledgement from the Australian government for for the input that you gave to the report, and secondly, if you've received any feedback as to how that's progressing with the Australian government, if they've started implementing any of the recommendations?
The input probably would have gone to PWDA, which was People with Disabilities Australia, and the acknowledgement would have probably gone to them as well, as they were the head people that went. But we haven't, as far as I've heard, I know they acknowledge us for going over there, but implementation, I think they've started a little bit, but I think they need to do more.
Jenny,
I hope that answers your question.
Judy, since you've been over to the overseas, the institutions over there, are they still all open, or are they going to actually ever close down? Because I know in Australia we need to close all these institutions down where they are being built, in New South Wales and all that,
Yes.
To give the people more freedom out of a birdcage.
I'm not really sure on the institutions because there were a wide range of countries. So I couldn't really comment on them all. I'm not quite sure on that one, Jane. Sorry about that.
I certainly know that there's a lot still in the United States.
Yeah.
Big ones, yep.
Yeah.
Any more questions? I guess.
I'd better ask you a question, Judy. Would you like to tell us all where you're off to next when you leave this conference and what you will be doing there?
I'm going to Canberra after the conference here, and I'm a judge on a National Disability Awards panel. So I'm flying on Thursday, and we're doing the judging on Friday.
Now you know why we all want to be Judy.
Don't know.
Just one more question. I thought the UN was signed and ratified in July of 2008. Now, my daughter was born in September of that year, which was just a few months after. Could I be expecting too much from the government, so to speak, to be supporting me that soon after signing and ratifying something? Like, would you think it would take either months or years or however long for the government to get all these things that they have said yes to in place?
I think it would take years, Susan, to actually get them to answer one by one that they'll do that. Unfortunately.
Judy, I've got two questions. One, were there many other countries' delegations that included people with intellectual disability?
Not that I'm aware of, or not that I know of.
So would it be fair to say that people with intellectual disability are underrepresented on their World's Day?
Definitely, yes.
And the other question was, with the people you met from other countries, were there similar problems? Was there a similar stories that people were telling about the issues faced by people with disabilities in different countries?
Yes, there were. There were the same things but in different countries. So employment, for instance, we talked to different countries about employment, and they had the same issues that we have, but it was just a different country.
there's a universal issues that affect everyone.
Yes, definitely.
So I'm going to ask you some questions now, Judy, about on the national stage, you're on a lot of boards and committees.
Yes.
Some of which I mentioned. Do you find there's enough people with intellectual disabilities represented on those boards and committees nationally?
No.
And what are some of the things that they could be doing to fully include people with intellectual disabilities, in your opinion, from your experience more on boards and committees?
I think people with intellectual disabilities need to stand up and say, hey, I'm here, you know, so that you all can get a go, you know, you can all have a chance to be on these committees.
And what are some of, and you've talked about two of your passions, closing institutions and mm-hmm. sheltered workshops. When you go onto the boards and committees, what are the other things that you try and advocate for on behalf of people with intellectual disabilities?
I like to advocate for, like, funding for advocacy services. Also, as I said, closing institutions, employment, NDIS, you know, how that's going and how that's rolling out in each state and territories, and what are the good things and what are the bad things, you know, those sort of things. It has, but it's only from 15 to 24-year-olds. It's not the older generation. No, I'm hoping at some stage that the NDIS will roll out for all ages in Tasmania.
Now, you're also a big mover in self-advocacy and self-advocacy yes. groups in Tasmania, and Tasmania has quite a strong self-advocacy movement. Why is self-advocacy and self-advocacy groups, which we know are underfunded, why do you think they're important, and what would you think about lobbying for more funding for them, and why are you passionate about it?
Why am I passionate about self-advocacy and advocacy? Well, advocacy, there's in Tasmania we have two advocacy services, one that helps people with mental illnesses, and one that helps people with intellectual disabilities and physical disabilities. So why I'm passionate about advocacy is because sometimes we don't get the funding, you know. People don't get advocacy services, don't get the funding that they need to help people like us, you know. And I guess that's where I get my passion for self-advocacy, because if you need help, you know, the services aren't there, as in, you know, I don't know how to explain that, but self-advocacy has always been a passion of mine, standing up for people's rights and telling them about their rights. For one story I have, we took two people in wheelchairs through a Macca's drive-thru because we couldn't get through the door. So, and they wondered why we're wandering through the drive-thru, you know, hey, you can't get through the door, you go through the drive-thru. And that's just one of many.
Now, did anyone, I think, Jenny, you had a couple of questions about being on committees and boards for Judy, is that right?
Judy, can you tell us about the board or the committee that you're involved with
that's sort of the most important to you?
I guess the National Council on Intellectual Disability is one of the boards that I guess I'm passionate about, because it helps strengthen intellectual disability. It also helps provide support when you need it. You know, I sit on the board, and if there are things that people are talking way above my head, I can say, hey, stop. And they'll go, what? What? You're talking way above my head. You need to talk at my level. So it's really important for people to say, hey, stop, you know. You need to be talking my language. You need to be talking, you know, in an easier way so that I can understand, and then I can relay that back to others.
And are there boards or committees that you've been on that haven't been so inclusive or could have lifted their game maybe in including people with easy English? I can tell by the laugh that that's a yes.
Yes, there have been a couple of boards that, or there's been one board in particular that I sat on for a long time, and I ended up having to resign from that board due to unforeseen circumstances. So
it's important, I guess, then you would think, for boards and committees to look at, to talk to people about what their needs are,
yes,
how to be inclusive of every member.
Yeah, definitely.
Does anyone have any questions about Judy's experiences on a national level on boards and committees? Or all right. Well, thank you so much, Judy, for
well,
that.
Thank you
and
for
I, and
having
I have
me.
To let you know, this morning I got up really early. I've told Judy this. I went and bought a beautiful bag and a beautiful thank you card and some presents, and I left them in my kitchen. So, but I do have someone coming in, so Judy will pretend you're getting a virtual thank you very much for coming all the way from Tassie to speak to us. And you'll get the real one at the end of the day. So everyone, I'd like to thank Judy so much for agreeing to come over and share her experiences with us. And I think it's been really insightful, and I've learned a lot too. So thank you very much.